This is an interview with Bud Jones, January 21st, 1998.
Maybe start, if I could, Bud, with, you know, where you were born and how long you've been here in the valley.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just a newcomer here.
But just your background of how, and then how long you've been out there in the area of the state ditch, you know, and some of that background.
Well, I came from high plateau area of Shanico.
Oh! And, when were you born, Bud?
1921.
Okay.
On a cold day, December the 8th, 21. And then we were, I lived up there. Moved to Dufour in 27. And my dad was working on the state highway. So I came up here to college and when I graduated from high school in 40. So I more or less been up here. My interest wasn't so much in the agricultural area when I went to college up here. It was my social education. So it wasn't until after the war. Well, I married my wife that I met here at college and in the service. I was sent to pilot instructor school in New Orleans, so I called her up and told her this was a real interesting country there. Told her if she'd come down there, we'd get married. So she did. So, but then her family, we have 160 acres there that's a century farm that her grand, let's see, would be her great-grandfather, Merrill Jasper, 1868.
What was that, 1868, when they first homesteaded that, would have been?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he'd been to the Willamette Valley and then came back up here. My great-grandfather went through here in 1846, but he wasn't satisfied with the school system here at that time. Didn't want to raise his family here. So he ended up down there out of Eugene at Cheshire, which I didn't even know I had a great-grandfather. I thought probably with a Jones name, he's probably a horse thief and he was running from the law. But
what was your wife's name?
Jasper.
Jasper, okay.
And, yeah, and then her grandfather actually took up a homestead up just east of Elgin there on the rim. But
that 160-acre century farm, that's right by the state ditch there?
Yeah, it's on the east side of the state ditch, on just along the Lower Cove Road.
Oh, okay.
And he eventually built up an estate that covered quite a bit of the territory over there of the Lower Cove area. Mm-hmm. With his children and whatnot. Well, the Grays.
Oh, yeah.
Which Sally Conley was a Gray, mm-hmm. and all the Grays were his offspring.
Oh, okay.
And eventually, all those parcels of ground ended up into each one of theirs. Mm-hmm. And
can you go over, Bud, of the history you remember or know of as far as the state ditch? You mentioned before we started here about Hendershot, maybe starting there. I think that's about the earliest history, isn't it, of settlement and
Yeah, well, yeah, you'd think, yeah, because that 1870, Hendershot then was, of course, all that earlier was that they were pack trains going from the river to the mine area. Mm-hmm. And then, and that's basically is what created the people stopping here then and starting farming to raise food for the
mines. Yeah, the supplies for the mines.
Because
see, it was 1863 was the land survey to start splitting up, you know, the townships and surveying that. And at that time, on those maps, it showed that the Walla Walla Boise Road, which would have been, you know, right past Hendershot Point there, out there, by, which is now Vise Point.
Well, according to Tex Wells, Harry Wells, and he lives right there near that 160 acres of ours. It was is a Century Farm. That's part of the road, the old Pioneer Road, and you know, it went through Inver. And out to
Well, this what I have on the map there in orange, that was what I picked up off the survey, which would have been, you know, going right through, that would go right through what you're talking about there as far as, you know, where the state ditch took off and emptied, you know, back up in the Grand Ronde. It comes right across that, right up, you know, in here. Because I think this is, here's your Market Lane right here.
Yeah. Okay,
that red line.
So it would be... Oh, that's the house right there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, that's... And then that's the bridge across there, and that trail went on down there. Okay, yeah, so that's the location where our place is right there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And of course, I read where... Some of the landowners that have land over here and land over here.
Both sides.
They have livestock. And they would, but they'd have a building on both places because they had to get over on the other side of the river when it was low.
Right.
And so then they lived over there to take care of their livestock.
Oh, yeah.
And I understood that to be more or less down here in this lower area. But
because the years that it floods, you know, I've got photos of that showing, you know, that water hangs in there, you know, pretty deep. And of course the old surveys too, some of that mentions like 4 and 8 foot deep, you know, in the high water there where evidence of it.
It would depend on the year, you know. Cold year, sub zero weather, that area that ice is up. Mm-hmm. Or the dizzy ice doesn't go out of that crooked river.
Right. Yeah.
So it just builds, water just piles on top of it. And that's what is, we still have trouble with water, but it's, you know, the tribes like meandering streams.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, of course, that fish program's a lot different than that doesn't enter into our life as agrarians here.
Yeah,
well, farming. You like to be able to control the water, and it can be handled if we were allowed to control the water. But that's in the future. Yeah, it, well, on our home place there on Booth Lane, we've got 3 acres that's across on the other side of the state ditch. And when I first went there after the war, you could see where the road went down the bank and then up the other bank, because they did raise hay or something on the other side. Mm-hmm. Right? And that cross there, but there hadn't. I can't see where there's been a whole lot of change.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, there's some banks are dropping off, but those banks are 20, 25 feet deep there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And well, it's just as you cross the Peach Lane Bridge, you can pretty well tell.
Yeah, it gives you a good idea of,
yeah,
you know, what.
And then right, just this south of the state ditch, right there on that Peach Lane, is where that McAllister, or the Spring Creek Slough is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which was probably just a fork of the old Grand Round River.
Mm-hmm.
You can see how deep it is. It's,
yeah,
4 feet deep or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really can't see, haven't been able to tell that there's been that much change in the state ditch since I've been here.
That's it. But when was it when you first moved or purchased that land? Do you remember what year that was?
Well, the home place there, they purchased that in 1910, which they purchased that from I.D. Smoots. Smoots got it from, in 1902, from Pennington. Pennington got it in 1872. Bank of England
financed.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And
but that, when did you first move there?
Then I went out there, started in the spring of 47.
Oh, okay. After you got out of the Army.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
In
the Marines.
Or Marines, I'm sorry. Pardon me.
Army's too broad.
Right. Think the war, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Out of the service.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've been there ever since. And
oh,
we bought it from... Well, my wife's father passed away in 35, and I never did know him.
Oh, I
so
see. Uh-huh.
It's, her mother had the place.
But what about along the ditch itself, from 47 till now? Has been much change of size or vegetation along the ditch itself?
No, there really isn't much of any vegetation to speak of. There are some willows, mm-hmm, spotted here and there,
yeah,
but...
Well, I didn't know if that had changed. I flew it here this last, you know, spring, and, you know, got aerial photographs of it.
Oh.
But I didn't know, I'd never paid any attention to it in the past decade, so whether there's been much change of that, or whether it's been pretty much the same, you know...
Well, they've replaced the Peach Lane, or the... Well, they replaced the Peach Lane Bridge, too, but the Booth Lane Bridge there, just east of our house, that bridge has been replaced. I think Virgil Conley said it three times.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's... There's some erosion dropping off the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm right there on the curve where it changes from the east west and start making the curve
going north,
turn north. And it's working the banks,
mm-hmm,
down, but it takes it straight down.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And there's not much I understand from the stream corridor people, there isn't much you can do with those,
yeah,
that type,
mm-hmm,
of a bank.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't keeping it, it would still eventually be a straight up and down unless you rip rat.
Well, I didn't know, you know, where that's happened, whether, if you can recall, whether there's more vegetation where that stuff is sloughed off, you know, where your bank erosion, of whether that's,
of course, we
haven't happened much.
We have brush on the inside of the curb, and it stays there. But the water and the ice is working on the outside.
On the outside.
Curb,
yeah. Oh, is that pretty much willow that's along through there, or is there other?
Yeah. Not very big, not big willows. Let's see. I think there's a box elder tree or two along in there. And of course that wasn't native to the old cottonwood tree.
No.
So there isn't much chance that there's going to be cottonwood trees coming up in there.
Well, remember, but just kind of overall through the valley, you have a heavy cottonwood, you know, down around the Grand here, you know, along the river, and then over in Catherine Creek. Out in the valley, do you recall, as far as the change, you know, what I call a cottonwood community, you know, in other words, the trees compared to the willow brush and lower vegetation?
I think you'll find some over on this other,
Spring Slough?
On the Spring Slough, you'll run into some cottonwood.
Yeah. Do you remember about how far out in the valley they came?
Well, about where they are now, I think. Did they go out as far as Delashmet McCabe?
I think there's a few out in there. I think it seems like it starts petering out. So
yeah.
I talked to Bill Hall. He said, you know, down there around Imbler, that there's a few patches along the river, but most of it was the lower brush, you know, the willows and rose and dogwood.
I planted some poplar trees out there on the inside curve along the river, but they never did take. Imagine the high water. Even the trees that they did plant in there, the beaver came.
Oh, and took them.
They even took some of my pine trees down, and the game commission said, "Oh, they don't go for pine trees. They don't utilize them, but they sure cut them. They said they used them to sharpen their teeth on."
Well, they'll take them back up Camas Creek and Fly Creek. They're actually eating on the lodgepole up there. I mean, they're taking and using those for the dams and the lodges. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they packed the limbs and stuff down to the river.
Mm-hmm. They're kind of opportunists, you know. They're not. I mean, I think they prefer the cottonwoods and willows, but it's not there.
I would imagine. But I cannot. You know, you'd have to drive the state. Well, even I can see in the bank there, just south of the Booth Lane Bridge, where it crosses the ditch there, the swallows.
Oh, yeah, working in the bank.
Working in the bank, and then the high water comes up, and it goes into those swallow holes, and pretty soon the bank comes down.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to have to put some kind of a protection there, or they're going to lose the...
Bridge there. Bridge button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Eventually.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're into that. They've got a program, I guess, on the, right here in the Grand, with about the same thing along the bridges there, where some of that's been eaten back in of trying to stabilize some of those abutment areas. I see where they got a... studying, I guess, this next year.
that's more or less trying to hold the riverbed up to protect the utilities that they've got running through the riverbed over to the Riverside Park.
I just read that in the paper. I didn't know what all the background was on that one.
Well, that stemmed See, that's where the irrigation ditch comes up. The big ditch comes up that comes out across the valley out there. And due to the mining of the sand and gravel out of the, below there, the riverbed just dropped
out.
Yeah, that's the Army engineers, you know, came in after the 64 flood. And so they were going to help things out, so they did some, well, in fact, the county went in there when the county raised our roads up, east-west roads up, to, so that the wind would blow the snow off the roads. They used to blow that river rock and build that base of that rock road up. So between between that and the Army engineers, they rechanneled it.
Yeah.
Bigger channel. Yeah, you can talk to Pat Fitzgerald there.
Right, Bay Park there.
He'll tell you. He lives right on the bank. Right. Yeah, I started working on that situation in 70. That's when they really started causing some trouble in there on the riverbank in that stretch. Yeah, they're not going to do much. They're going to put some barbs in there, rock barbs to deflect the water to try to control it. But.
So, Bud, can you give me a little background on when you started with the, or on the, Conservation District, wasn't it? Is how the name, some has changed, I guess, over the years, the names there, but background was.
It was basically, you know, it started with First Union Soil Conservation District, which is right over around Union. Gilbert Courtright was the big instigator of that. And, drop some names there. But and then finally, the whole county now is part of the Soil Conservation District. But their basic purpose was to handle any of the problems, farm problems. And first of all, they were doing some ditching and. I guess you'd call it draining. I like to call it water control rather than draining.
Yeah.
And,
but didn't they do like land leveling and ditching and
just land leveling was a big thing. And a lot of part of the years I didn't actually become a board member. I was working within the district. Which I got started. I was on a agricultural stabilization conservation committee, which is a government agency for which they had ACP practices, agricultural conservation practices, which was a financial program that the Soil and Water Conservation District was actually using to carry out their finance their practices. So I got started in that in the 50s, which was also part of the farm program of allotments of for crops and whatnot, but and then I think it, I didn't really go on the board until I think it was 67. I was more interested in getting other fellows that were to get them to be on the board because I was already working with them. I didn't have to.
Yeah.
I was getting other people to be interested in and.
Do you remember when the Soil Conservation District started? About
46.
1946. Oh, okay.
Do you see that? They originally started in from the Dust Bowl days in the Midwest.
Yeah, Oklahoma country.
Initiated. Yeah. And,
do you recall, Bud, because I guess I talked to you on the phone there, like Max DeBoer, or I talked to somebody else, that he was, you know, running the equipment with one of the major operators.
He was really what, to my way of thinking, he was really what made the Soil Conservation District.
Do you remember, as far as the area they covered, of how extensive that was? I talked to Myron Ricker, and I guess like up Catherine Creek there, they leveled, you know, quite a bit, it cleared some brush, and leveled up to that area.
Yeah. I took over the management of the soil equipment in 62, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Alan Courtright had it before me, and he talked me into I'd put my place in the soil bank, 59 to 64, so I had some time. So I managed the equipment, and the year that I started, I went over, we were leveling a piece of ground for Ralph Titus.
Oh yeah.
So Max was running one cat and carry all, and I was running another cat and carry all. And it was that piece there where the house is. And there were some blips out there in the field. And what they were was actually part of the old Catherine Creek Channel that went out in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they stayed wet. Well, you couldn't run your cat and carry all over them. But I backed the cat carry all back over the top of it, kept the cat on a solid ground, and I peeled the top off of it. And that's when I found out that somebody said, well, you can't really change a creek channel. The creek is still going to run where it ran to begin with, underground. And I believe after being on that place, it is still going to run, some of it's going to run out under the field.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, wherever you've got rocky conditions, it can run. You know.
Do you recall that would be, of course, Catherine Creek, and then you got Little Creek coming through that field, too.
Let's see, Little Catherine would be far.
Well, not Little Catherine, Little Creek.
Little Creek, that would be a little farther over, wouldn't it?
Well, it comes right through his property, you know, that whole field that went from there to the road that went around the Foothill Road.
Yeah.
You got Catherine Creek hugging the bank on the east side of it, and then you've got, or south side, and then
south side.
On the, through the middle of the field is where Little Creek comes through, and did you get?
I didn't get over that far.
You didn't get over that far.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because I understood. I talked to, both Myron Ricker, but then, one had the fish hatchery over there, that he worked on. That he said that used to be, I guess, beaver in there, and that was, of course, all that had been straightened out. You know, it used to be a lot of brush ground, but I think that was back in the 40s when that got changed over. Would have been before, you know, when you were in there.
Yeah.
So they evidently had, somebody had worked in there, you know, in the, look, sounded like the late 40s as far as I could tie it down.
Well, they did a lot of work over in the Union area before, at the beginning, when the district was formed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about out in the valley? Did they work about the same way in there?
I can't recall. I think they did some levee work, but they didn't do much of it. Red Statler did a lot of the levee work. the big thing that the latter part of our time that we were working in the Soil Conservation District was building stock ponds down Elgin up, mm-hmm. up on the hills. Mm-hmm. And we, well, let's see, one of the I was up Max DeVore. Oh, if I could just think of names. If I can't think of names, I can't very well describe it. Medical Springs area. Took Max up there, and he resealed a ditch that came around the hill side there and filled a pond. Fisk? A lady had a ranch there. I think her name was Fisk.
Yeah.
I'll be blessed. He could put that cat and equipment in place.
Well, that's what I heard. Yeah. What about on the upper Grand Ronde? Did they do any work going up above La Grande, going up those meadows?
They were
Starkey.
They were in the meadows and ran a ditch across the big meadow there above. Let's see, is that above or below the gun club?
About where I think it was, Jordan Creek comes
big,
in there.
Where the big house is on the left hand mm-hmm. side. They ran a drainage ditch out across that meadow. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is now. Last time I ran up that road, it seemed like it was a lot different than it was before. That's the only. Let's see. That's the only thing I know of that
up the Grand Ronde
happened up there. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, I've got to take that back because after I turned the Walt Obendorf took over. He's still in town here. He took over the management of the farm equipment or the district equipment after I did. Now they were up there. One of the carryalls is still up there on that ground that Timmerman's got.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And what they did, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That gives me a lead to, you know,
yeah,
to get on that. Because I think in, after that 64 flood, they were in McCoy Creek there, you know, straightened some of that out.
That's what I understand.
You know, and that's where they went back this summer and you know, tried to put it back.
Yeah. Now, that's the only two things that I know of
okay.
that's happened up there. Well, yeah, they put this drainage ditch in that, it went across Smoots. This big ditch goes across, Uncle Frank Jasper's place there. He was still here when that went across there. They put that in. They did that before I was involved with it. Mm-hmm. Charlie Smoots was involved. Jesus. We seem to be a generation or two just a little bit behind, don't we?
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. For all this trying to derive the history, I said it should have been done about 25 or 50 years ago. I still had a lot of people still alive that had that firsthand knowledge.
Yeah.
What about, Bud, as far as beaver out along your area there, do you recall the...
Well, the beaver was in there getting my trees, and the Game Commission indicated that that only happens in high water, and the beaver kind of relocated themselves. They wouldn't stay in there. Mm-hmm. They trapped them out of there. And, let's see. You know, Claude Anson is about as... might be a good resource.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know where he lives?
Well, I think he's in the retirement center now. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he lived... wasn't he downriver from Willie Hammond? Or
well, actually, he still got his place there just outside Island City.
Okay, I couldn't recall just exactly his location. I knew he was down in there.
His folks' place.
Oh, okay.
Back in the field there.
Yeah.
After you make the double turn going out of East Island City.
Oh, okay.
And, let's see, he... quite often in the summertime, he eats lunch there at the cafe at Island City.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Glenn Herford's, he's always got a story.
Oh, yeah, I talked to Glenn a couple weeks ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's enough said. Yeah, he'd tell you about his grandfather selling the vase that plays up there.
Yeah, about the vase battle.
Yeah, that's interesting. All the pastures in terrible shape, but there's been a lot of horses raised on.
Oh, yeah.
Even the Indians run their horses over there. So. Well, we don't really have much trouble with Mother Nature until people appear.
Well, there's a few conflicts, that's it. You get a few conflicts, you know. Mother Nature did its own thing there.
Yeah. Of course. And the Indians, you know, there's a lot of territory. They knew when to be at a certain place at a certain time. They didn't.
No, they didn't. That was their lifestyle. Yeah. Excuse me.
You mentioned, Bud, on the beaver there. I remember about when that was, when they're eating on the trees. At your place?
Well, I planted those trees in 56, so I'd say they were getting some of them had a 6-inch diameter to the pine trees, so it was in 64 or so, imagine.
Yeah, because 64 was the big flood. 64, 65 was that year that the snow melted in December, and then we had the floods, you know, from then on into the spring.
Of course, that... Let's see, I put the irrigation in on there, on that place in 65.
I was wondering mostly, Bud, with the beaver there since that time, of whether there'd been any change as far as population or, you know.
They didn't have any material to do much change in population.
Well, there just hadn't been much out there.
The beaver has affected that right slough that comes across there. I always thought it was the Conway slough, but it's the right slough that comes across there where the fertilizer plant is.
Oh, yeah.
On Booth Lane?
Yeah, Booth Lane there. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then the beavers, that's pretty well brushed along that slough there. And, cases have had trouble with the beaver building dams down there.
Oh, yeah.
Backing that water out.
Have they pretty much just tried to live with it, or have they tried trapping them out, you know? Or?
No, they just put some dynamite in there and give them a headache. And as far as I know, there could have been some trappers go in there and trap them. I don't think they tried to. I think they gave anybody permission to go in and trap them if they wanted to.
Because the old-time trappers, of course, used to do quite a bit, but they're kind of dying out, where, in the same way, the price of, beaver has changed, I guess, over the years.
They've been wanting to rechannel that slough there, but, there's... There's a lot of things a fellow likes to do, but unless he's got some money.
Oh, yeah.
And that's probably one of the big reasons that more things hadn't been done, was because of the financial conditions. There wasn't a whole lot done until after the war, when a lot of surplus equipment and the equipment to do things with. And then you had new generations of fellows coming in farming, and the shortage of funds. And, it was just through the ACP payments that would cover those projects that actually the Soil Conservation District operated on. There's not so much of that being done anymore.
No. Mm-hmm.
Well, they've got so many regulations now, it's kind of hard to do anything.
Yeah. When they were doing that, though, did they remember much as far as the brush along the river where that was taken back compared to, back in the 50s and 60s compared to nowadays?
The story I hear, and that happened about the time right after the war, was just east of Island City there, the Grand Ronde River. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of cottonwoods along there between Island City and the Pierce Bridge. Mm-hmm. And Jake Bohr farmed in there, and I guess he set the place on fire, and he took care of a lot of the brush along the river then.
Do you remember, as far as the cottonwoods, did they use that for anything, or were they just piled up and burned or buried?
I think they were just burned.
Just burned, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. In this Clean Water Act clean, pure water. And then you get to thinking about the first thing you learn when you're a kid and playing in the dirt, and your parents say, well, cleanliness is next to godliness. So you get up in the morning, the first thing you do is wash. Everything you got to do, you can't do anything but what you got to wash. So we're really related to water to a great deal. Well, anything you don't want, you throw in. If there's a stream, you throw it in the stream. It carries it away. It's gone. So, what do we expect that more or less is how come we got the water that we do have, the condition it's in, because we've been taught that way.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's been worked on ever since, you know, in the mining days, you know, up in the upper Grand Ronde, where they dredged everything, and, you know, of course, the sluicing it, you know.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. Well, they're looking for gold up there, you know, they started with, and, to extract it, they had to wash the soil with it. So.
But you end up, you've got sediment. It has to end up someplace.
Oh, yeah.
So now we're going to try and change those ways.
Well, plus just natural, too, that, you know, you have, that happens where you have the flood areas, you know, add that onto it. I mean, you know, it's intricate of the watershed or the rivers. But going back to the Cottonwoods, Long Island City, do you remember about when that was? I didn't catch the guy's name that was farming out there.
Well, Jake Bohr.
Jake Bohr. Oh, okay. Do you remember about what time that...
Willie Hammond would probably... I thought it was just about the time I started, right after the war.
Mm-hmm. Because 1937 was the first aerial photographs, and then got on the maps and try to, you know, redraw all those, because they do show up real good, you know, on the photos there. And then you can kind of pick up where the old channel was and, you know, where the new, you know, modern day channel is.
The ASCS office had a Metzger map that was put out in 35, had all the land ownerships on it.
Oh.
And then they kept it up. When a land ownership changed, they put a different name on there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when we moved, and when the soil district built the new building out there at Island City that houses the agencies, then when the manager changed, one of the managers threw that book away into the dumpster, and for some, I just opened that dumpster up, and there was that Metzger map.
Uh-huh.
Holy cow! I just grabbed. I got that out.
Home. Oh, you got it. Okay, I was going to say it's a good thing somebody salvaged it, because a lot of that stuff got thrown that way.
Oh yeah.
I went out there. Well, it was this summer. You know, I was looking because used to have all the old aerial photographs on file, and all they've gotten out of the big, you know, 2x2s put. And modern day, and of course, they've got everything drawn on them. They're hard. You know, of course, can't use stereoscope, you know, where they need the old 9x9s. But they had one set, I think it was 64, back in the storage, and I got a hold of those, and, you know, went through.
Well, they turned some earlier flights into the library up here at the college.
Yeah. I know they've got a lot of stuff there. They don't have the, the maps. Flight maps on all, everything. What they got flight maps for, they don't have the photos of the photos. But I know, you know, I've done enough of it where I sorted through that.
Yeah.
So I went back into that 37 flight and the 56 and 64 and 70. So that gives you a pretty good record, you know, that change like that.
Yeah.
Real valuable.
You've been busy, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. A lot of hours put in, a lot more than ever, you know, dreamed of. But it's like it's that big jigsaw puzzle trying to put it all together.
Yeah.
But it starts fitting, you know, when you start, if you have enough hours to spend on it. So. But it's, you know, it tells a lot of story there, you know, trying to get that base of changes and what happened and like that.
No, it's, I wish I could, I've got the minutes of the Soil Conservation District. And, I've gone through the back from the earlier minutes, and I've kind of hit the high point.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I've got a condensed writing on them, and,
Well, I picked up some of it. Dwayne West had done some. I think, I don't know if he got it from you or got it from someone else, of some of that history, you know, of that district, you know, that you'd done. I don't know when that was, but that But some of that, you know, I gleaned, you know, got that in the record on that. So that was real helpful on showing that chronological history. And then, of course, I tried to expand on that for a lot of other sources and kind of put it all together.
And I had to go back in and find out who the district directors were all the way through there.
Yeah.
It kind of like when I started farming out there, I went to my neighbors to kind of, because I wasn't raised on a farm, so I'd kind of get a line out on what comes next, what do I do next. So I decided, well, I can't do this the rest of my life, so I started keeping a diary on operations. So I've got diaries then since I started farming there in 46. And you carry one of these little things around, so you keep track of the weather and the temperature, and I've been keeping track of the temperature, high, low temperature, and rainfall.
Oh, yeah.
So it,
remember the floods out there, Bud, out in your area, of what years that there's, the problems or where you had the heavy flooding?
Do I have a history of it?
Well, just if you recall when, in your area there where you're living, of what years those were that there was problems of, real heavy backwater or flooding.
Generally, I haven't gone back to really pull the years out. I've got a running scale sheet since 66 of rainfall, in that I have noted when the floods were.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And ice, whether ice flow or whatnot.
Well, I just wondering if those floods, how much they impacted you out there, or if they're dealing with, like the ice flows, if that had a variance of what problems there were, like the time of year the floods were, and